people sing like that. You want to hit them because you can't sing like that. And if I worked at it all day long, you wouldn't get that. Wasn't that a blessing? Thanks, Stephen. That's Rosalind's son. He usually comes home every now and then and blesses us with the talents God has given. There are many sidebars to the Christmas story, sub-dramas. We are aware, of course, of the main drama, a simple carpenter and his betrothed wife, pregnant, but she's a virgin. See, you don't know what to do with that. Pregnant, but she's a virgin. And if we had no other information but that, that would be a big enough story. What do you say? Pregnant, but a virgin. But there is more to the story. The shepherds and their visitation by angels is another sub-drama of the story. The decree by Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. He's not even aware that he's being used as a tool of the king of the universe to bring Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. There's old Anna the prophet and Simeon, her cohort, who stood at the temple waiting on the blessing of the Lord. That's a sermon right there. And that situation at the temple, at the dedication of Jesus, Joel Bullard, that's what prompts my sermon today. God in my arms. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Try to join with me in picturing this couple arriving from the hill countries of Nazareth, coming into Jerusalem. He has his wife on a donkey, an indication of a middle-class person, a successful small businessman, a carpenter. He can afford an animal for his wife. Even as you see him, you can detect beneath his robe strong shoulders, shoulders hewn because in those days a carpenter was more than just one who put furniture together. A carpenter was a lumberjack, cutting down the trees that he used for his wood. And so you can see in his bearing the strength of a woodcutter. His wife is pretty, but not exceptionally so. She's no more than about 16 to 18 years old. He is a man in his early 30s. And the folk in church have whispered about this union because the child has come a bit early from the time of the betrothal. Some did the counting. A little early. But the couple have borne this whispering with dignity because they have this inspiration of information from God. They know that something special is going on. And so with confidence, they come to the temple to dedicate the child. And all of a sudden, we notice there is a bundle in her arm, a little squirming bundle. And every now and then, she turns her face down in that way that only new mothers can. God gives them instant ears to detect whether the sounds are those of trouble or those of joy. As they make their way into the ancient metropolis of Jerusalem, the capital of their land, the dusty road now becomes firmer from all of the traffic that goes on in this great metropolis. Some animals pull wagons with iron wheels. These wheels pack the dirt, and so they move from the packed dirt now to the covered streets just outside the portico of the temple. There's an ambiance. Listen to me, church. There's an ambiance in the city, an uncaring ambiance. All the babbling, the noise, the dust, the haggling, the sailing. They have no idea that the King of Kings is in their midst. They're going about their daily duties, their business, their up and down, their rat race. They do not know that God has acted in a marvelous way, and that walking amongst them, carried in the arms of a human, is the creator of humans. They'll go about their business. The perfume of human ignorance. The temple is dominated by a golden throne. The sun reflects off of it. It's the dominant building in the city. The pride of Jerusalem. This couple has come miles to see it. A turtle dove scatters as they move toward the temple. A sleepy soldier leans on his spear as they walk by, as his creator walks by. Just outside the temple are the sellers of animals, and they provide the sacrifices. Joseph goes through the traditional haggling, finally choosing two turtle doves. He's fulfilling the requirements found in Leviticus 12 and verse 8. According to the law of Moses, the newborn child must be brought, a male child, within 40 days after his birth. It is what takes place next that alarms your pastor. According to Luke 2, verses 21 through 24, the couple do exactly what they're supposed to do. They follow the law according to Leviticus 12, and after the eighth day of the circumcision, they wait the 33 days, they bring the child. It's all according to the law. They're doing things perfectly. That's not what bothers me. What bothers me is that they walk into the temple and place their baby in the arms of the pastor. And he does not know he's holding his Savior. That's what bothers me. And with traditional mumbo jumbo, takes the child, blesses it, turns, writes the name Jesus into the scroll, turns and says, next! And the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is carried out of his presence. And Gina, he doesn't even know that what he studied in the seminary about, what he dreamed about, what he was taught in Sabbath school, just taken place. But he's so wrapped up in himself. Oh, that sounds familiar. So caught up in the things of this world. That sounds familiar. So wrapped up in the humdrum of life that he, this pastor of Tacoma Park Church, does not even know, nor do the members, that Jesus has passed by. Pastor Cosley Joseph and I have the same burden today. His sermon was along the same theme. He just used different characters. Because I'm wondering today, at the end of 2016, how many times Jesus has been dropped in your lap and you're so caught up in yourself, you don't even know. How many times do you come to church and Jesus speaks to you directly, right to your soul, right to your problem, but you're so caught up in it, you don't know. You have no idea that in that church service, Jesus met your need, but you missed it because you come to church so much and you sing the hymn so much and you open the Bible so much and you go through the ritual so much. It's lost its meaning. What a shame to sit through all of this and he come the second time. How could this happen? Well, go to Luke, the first chapter, and verse 5. And there begins the story of the birth of John the Baptist. Now, if you do the math using the book of Luke, the first chapter, the details of Luke the historian are very amazing. He makes it clear that Zacharias and Elizabeth are visited by an angel, and they find they're pregnant unexpectedly. That angel stays busy and visits now a virgin and tells her. The two women are cousins, Elizabeth and Mary. Mary goes to visit Elizabeth and stays with her until Elizabeth delivers. She stays 3 months. So Elizabeth was 6 months when she got there. Another 6 months later, Mary has her baby. So a whole year has gone by. Listen to me. Zacharias is a priest in the temple, the same temple where this priest that blessed Jesus worked. Are you listening to me? There's no way in the world that this priest who blessed Jesus didn't hear about the miracle of John the Baptist. Is anybody awake today? In fact, the Bible is clear in Luke 1 and verse 65, because when Zacharias gets the word, he doesn't believe, so he's made dumb. He cannot talk for the whole time that his wife carries the baby. The baby is born, and then when it's time to name John the Baptist, John finally is let loose by the angel, declares the name shall be John. Then verse 65, Luke 1, verse 65, then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout the whole territory of Judah. And why? This priest who blessed Jesus must have heard something. That should have caused him to be studying and reading. See, did anything happen this year that got you to studying and reading? Is it possible that the election of a man who's never been head of anything that has to do with governing? Is it possible? Maybe God is saying something to his people, but I got bills to pay, Pastor, and I got a job to keep and a house to take care of and a car to, I got kids in, I have no time to pay attention to what God is saying. I gotta believe it was discussed in the temple that amongst the priests, because according to the Bible, the priests worked in courses. They took turns. They would come. They would go. Surely this unnamed priest who blessed Jesus, he must have heard about Zacharias. He was an important priest from down there in Hebron. The story of his wife, unable to have children, had a child. The miracle of him speaking and being dumb and then speaking. All of that happened a year before. What does God have to do to the church? What kind of disaster must he portend for us to finally believe that what we have been believing is the truth? He that shall come will come and will not tarry. Hey, I can almost hear the sound of angels rustling in glory. Is Orion getting bigger? The scientists say so. Maybe he's really going to come. But I got to get my teeth fixed. And there's that dress that Nordstrom has finally got at the price I can afford. I have no time to fast. I have no time to pray. Don't drop Jesus in my arms. I have no time to hold him. That's not all. When Jesus was born, some 41 days before this moment of dedication, there was these shepherds. Remember them? Luke 2, verses 17 and 18. The angel tells them, go see, they go see. And the angels sing to the shepherds and leave them covered in heavenly glory. They go see the baby. Larry Logan, and having seen the baby, here's what they did. Now, when they had seen him, him is capitalized in my Bible, they made widely known, this priest has got a second chance. He missed it a year before. Now, it's just a few days, barely a month before he will bless the baby. They made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. They told people, hey, angels told us the Messiah is being born. It's for their church members. They attend the church, maybe that the man pastors. It's running through the streets. It's being whispered. There's a word that a baby has been born in Bethlehem, and angels came and told the shepherds. They're telling everybody, but not this pastor. He's got sermons to prepare. He's got things to do. Candlelight communion's coming up. Has no time. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the shame of the church is the shame in the church. And the shame in the church is we often use even religious stuff as an excuse for not being spiritual. Did you hear what I just said? Wrapped up in stuff, wrapped up in liturgy, wrapped up in practice, wrapped up in things that we just do all the time, we don't even notice. And so even our church going and our Sabbath school lessons studying and our ministries become cloaks of righteousness, and we forget we are sinners saved by grace. And the most important thing is not being a deacon, but being saved. One year before, 41 days before. And then he's a priest, a Levite. He's required to memorize the first five books of the Bible. Genesis has prophecies concerning the Messiah. They have to use the Psalms in their worship. It's got prophecies concerning the Messiah. The most used Old Testament book in that day was Isaiah. There are prophecies there concerning the coming of the Messiah. We won't even mention Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Micah, Haggai, Malachi, and Zechariah. All these books of the Bible. See, study, 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 study. I got study, study, study. I got all kinds of studies. I've done this, I've done that, this course, this, and I'm just as much a sinner as I was before I picked up my Bible. Because we do not read the Bible, folk, for information. We read the Bible for salvation. And Adventists are good at spouting facts and figures out of this book. But Revelation says, blessed are they that read and that do. Some of us live our life like commuters going from Laurel to downtown Washington. We've driven the path so long we don't even notice that there are new pretty flowers growing by a telephone pole. We don't drive like the child who notices every little thing. The priest was that way peace had come to earth from heaven. Here's the Desire of Ages, how they paint it. It says the presentation of infants was a common scene day after day. You see it there, you see it? Come on, read it with me. Day after day. Everybody, come on. Day, let me see her say it again. Day after day. Say it again. See, that describes your life. Day after day. Routine is poison, folk. And this is the reason why every now and then God drops the unexpected moment in your life to see if he can roust you from the routine, the poison of routine. Read it again, day after day. Read on, the priest received the redemption money as the babes were presented to the Lord. Next! Bless the baby, call the name. Next! Bless the baby, call the name. Next! Bless the baby, call the name. Maybe 20, 30 times a day, Anwar. Next! One of them was Jesus. One of them was his Savior. And maybe if he had paid attention to the talk a year ago about Zacharias, maybe if he had not been too busy 40 days before when the word came from the shepherds, maybe he would have heard something that would have caused him to pick up his Bible, not to study the Sabbath school lesson so he could blow everybody away in Sabbath school class as to how much he knew, but to study the Bible that he might be saved, that he might be converted, that his heart might be torn, to read scriptures for the purpose that I would be more like Jesus, not to be smarter than the Baptist, but to be saved with the Baptist. No. He takes no indication. Because the couple is middle class. Her dress is from Kmart, his suit is from Sears. Nothing custom made. And they drive up in a Volkswagen Beetle. Let's bless the baby, get the fees, and send them on. I got news for you. See, sometimes the most important spiritual moments in your life are the simple ones. Are you listening to me? You wake up early in the morning and you can't sleep. And you don't know why. Pray. Get up out the bed. Drop to your knees and pray. Maybe God is trying to drop the baby in your arms. You get up in the morning and you feel sick. You don't feel like going to work. You don't know why you're sick. And you spend the day watching TV. Maybe God made you sick because he wants you to spend the day with him. Is anybody listening to me? We're waiting for some dramatic drama moment, but God is in the saving business every day, and the problem with us is he can't get us away from the usual. We're wrapped up in the usual. The thief on the cross kept no Sabbaths. He'll be in heaven. Because he had enough faith to see in a man with his hands nailed to the cross and bleeding from his mouth. He saw the Savior and he said, when you get there, remember me. Faith moves God. Ritual turns him off. We can't fool God with habits and procedures and protocols and liturgies. He says, what I want is a contrite, broken heart. I plead with my congregation. Let's leave 2016 and all the habits and traditions and usuals behind as cloaks for our sin. Let's go into the new year bearing our hearts before God and saying, have mercy upon me. I'm a sinner. No more pretense. No more hiding behind habit. I need to be saved. Come to this church and fall upon our knees. Stop posturing and pretending. So there he is. There he is. I read another quote from Desire of Ages, the same page, page 52. He, the priest, this thing just blows my mind. This just gets to me, Cecil. He, the priest, took the child in his arms. Held it up before the altar. Ritual. He's holding the God who holds the universe together. After handing it back to his mother, I'm reading from Desire of Ages, he inscribed the name Jesus on the scrolls. What's his name, y'all? Oh, thank you. And hands the scroll back to his assistant pastor. Next! He gets another chance, Tara. They leave and go out into the portico. And old Anna, hey! See, there's a difference, folk, when you got a nose for God. Simeon. And they go to the couple. And they rejoice. And it's interesting, Mary and Joseph made no announcement. We just had our baby dedicated. He's the Savior of the world. Are you listening to me, folk? They just walk out the door. And Anna says, this is it! That's him! Simeon says, what did you say? That's him! And the two old members get what the pastor misses and go home that evening rejoicing that their salvation has come. The priest is still next. Next. But I'm not done. I'm in Matthew 2. Let's finish up. Matthew 2. It gets disgusting now. It's almost a year later. The wise men show up. You do know that the wise men came a year later. Get them nativity scenes right. Ain't no shepherds and no wise men at no manger together. That's why Luke doesn't mention them and Matthew doesn't mention the shepherds. The star, folk, did not show up until the night he was born. It led them there. The star led them there. The star led the wise men there. Are you with me? They came from the east. Persia. You do know that. And the star didn't show up till the night, so they didn't see the star till the night he was born. You can't get from Persia to Bethlehem on camels in one night. Even turbo-powered camels are not making the trip. So Matthew was clear that when they, the wise men, saw the child, the word child is not used for a Hebrew baby until he's at least 12 months old. The shepherds saw an infant in a manger, Read your Bible. And the wise men saw a child in a house. And to further explain it, remember when they showed up, and we'll get back to the priest in a minute. When they showed up, Herod asked them, "When did you get this word?" And Matthew 2:16 says that Herod's decision to kill the children 2 years and younger was based on the information he got from the wise men about the length of their trip. Now, here's my issue. I hope that your nativity scenes will be straightened up this evening before Christmas comes. Here's my point. If you read Matthew 2, look here. I love to study the Bible. See, let the Bible, see, we take our own thoughts to the Bible, sort of reading the Bible. When he had gathered all the chief priests, wait a minute, and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where Christ was born. He calls a gathering of pastors in Jerusalem. Herod does. Is anybody paying attention? This priest that blessed Jesus lived where? In Jerusalem. It's now a year later. I want you to see this man had 2 years to wake up and pay attention. From the time that things happened to Zacharias to the events with the shepherds, and now it's a year later, and word is out that wise men have arrived. They're looking for the child. Herod calls them, and supposing one of the priests called into Herod's palace was this same priest. And he's standing there, and his brain does not wake up. Maybe that's why that relationship you were in this year broke up. Maybe that's why you lost your job. Maybe that's why your child got in difficulty. Because God has tried everything he could to get your attention. So he figured the last thing I can do is just let their life fall apart. Maybe they'll pray. Maybe they'll stop pretending. Maybe they'll get faithful to church. Maybe they'll stop thinking that prayer meeting is an inconvenience. Maybe they will decide, I need to really be a Christian. Maybe. He's just trying to drop the baby in your arms. Is anybody listening to their pastor? And get you to pay attention. So I ask you, I want him to sing Silent Night. Have you got something else planned? Silent Night. I'm going to sing Silent Night. Listen to me, folk. You notice I've just taken my time with this sermon, just preaching to you slowly. I want you to think with me, because there's somebody sitting here in this congregation who had Jesus stop by this year and you didn't even notice. That's my concern. And you kept right on with the stuff of your life as if everything was just fine and missed the moment when God was reaching out to you personally. I don't want that to happen for you in 2017. Because I got a feeling the way the world's events are turning, the increase of terrorism, the increase of national instability, the wacky thinking of people. Do you know that people are going crazy? Have you read Great Controversy? Do you not know that Ellen White says that in the last days the Spirit of God shall be gradually withdrawn from the earth? Do you know she also says it's the Spirit of God is the only thing that's keeping the human race sane? And as God gradually withdraws His holy presence from this earth, people now are losing it. How bad does it have to get for you to decide? No more foolishness. No more half-stepping. No more pretense. No more just piling up Sabbath school quarterlies to say I've studied every day. No, I'm going to be a real Christian. Pastor doesn't have to prod me to give tithe and offering. I'm a Christian. I do that. Pastor doesn't have to beg me to join a ministry. I'm going to call him and join a ministry. Are you listening to me, folk? Hey! This priest was wrapped up in ritual and sameness and practice and religion. He was a totally unspiritual person. And because he was, he couldn't even recognize God in his own arm. Young man, when Jesus gives you a special moment, I want you to know it. Jesus stops in your life. I want you to know it. Young lady, I want you to be conscious that you've had a moment with Christ. It can happen in the car while you're driving, you know. Have you ever felt His presence in the car? Have you ever been praying and suddenly realized that the room was filled with more than you? Come on, somebody. Maybe the reason why you got sick this year is because God knows you only notice Him when you're flat on your back. Let's pray. Father, I'm done. You gave me the message, I've preached it. Help us. Help us. I don't know where this sermon touched. I don't know what this sermon did. But you gave it to me for somebody. Somebody needed this sermon. And maybe realizes that today wasn't just coming to church, it was coming to you. And so, Lord, today, whether that person comes down the aisle or not, may they still come to you. I'm going to give them a chance, though, to come down the aisle. Everybody stand. Let's sing this hymn, Silent Night, Holy Night. Where's Court? Just going to sing it. Come on. Lead them in the song. You can start before he gets there. You know it. Everybody's singing. Come on now, really sing it, really sing it. I tend to be an optimist when it comes to spiritual things. We find out from reading the book of Acts that during Christ's lifetime, many priests became believers. You know where I'm going, don't you? I want to believe that this priest was one of them. That it finally hit him. The Lord has come. Joy to the world. Oh, come all ye faithful. And I have this vision, Pyramid, of walking down the golden streets. And there's this priest walking around saying, you know, I blessed him. I blessed him. I held him. We serve a God, ladies and gentlemen, that never gives up on trying to save us. Somebody ought to save him. Put your hands together and give God glory. Never stops trying to save. We're going to send the second verse. We're going to sing the second verse. And if you know you need to come up here, give me your hand and God your heart. Say yes to God's church. Yes to studying God's word. Yes to a new beginning. And you have the courage to do so. Just come, walk down here. Let's sing. Last verse of the song, but before we sing it, come on. Come on. Join this young lady who's walked out. Come on. What's the reason for holding back? Just come on and make that decision today. If you're here, I'm praying for you to come. Okay, last answer. While you're singing, just pray in your heart.